Grace to you and peace from the risen Christ. As he spoke to the disciples, so he now says to you, peace be with you. Amen. I'd like to begin today in Luke chapter 24, the verses speaking of our Lord's resurrection. Let's hear them again as we read last week. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices which they prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but that when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise. And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told this to the apostles, but these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. Today I want to talk with you about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, raised bodily from the grave on the third day. And I want to ask you, is this to you an idle tale, as it was to the apostles? Is it some sort of rosy daydream that you hold out there as some mirage-like hope? Does it grab your inner soul and give you delight and joy in the future? Or are you, as the disciples at that time, unbelieving, thinking this is some sort of myth that's coming to me? How great it'd be if it were true. It's an idle tale. Well, I want to declare to you today, as God's ambassador, it is no idle tale that I'm sharing with you today. This is the best message you'll ever hear. Whether or not I speak eloquently today or I flounder around like some imbecile, this is the Lord's word. Christ was raised from the dead bodily on the third day from the grave, and that gives us victory in our lives and hope for the future. And I'm going to explain to you today several different ways in which the Lord promises us great things through Christ's resurrection from the dead. So you're with me today, right? You awake? Good. Okay, let's take a look at John chapter 20, picking up this same story. What happened later on that day after they had thought this is an idle tale? It says in verse 19 of John 20, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said again to them, peace be with you. Now, as I read this in the Revised Standard Version of the Bible, I think that's a pathetic translation of the word glad. They were glad when they saw the Lord. Does this sound right to you? They smiled half-heartedly. Oh, nice to see you again. The word in the Greek is chairo. Chairo, which means rejoice. I mean, they were at the pit and the depths of despair, crushed by Good Friday. And then they see the Lord again. This is, as Thomas said, my Lord and my God. This is the truth. This is the center of the Christian life, the belief and the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And how did they come to faith? What was it that changed them? Was it through philosophy? Maybe a theological discussion? Maybe a conversation that they had with someone? Maybe in their own misery they were just pondering over things. Or perhaps they even did a Bible study and looked and tried to find some hope in the Old Testament. No, it was none of these things. What did they need to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead? Same thing you need. And what you need is an encounter with the risen Christ. And I tell you today that Christ is come to you today to encounter you through me, speaking to you right now, saying, I am risen from the dead. Peace
be with you.
Do not be faithless, but believing. Now, you all know how the story continues, right? There were 10 disciples, apostles there on that day, but then there was one who decided he wasn't going to church on that Sunday. He was a little too dejected, a little too sorrowful. Maybe he stayed up too late on Saturday night and he needed a little extra sleep, although it was, I guess, at nighttime here that they had, that Jesus came to them on that day. But where do you meet the risen Christ? Where does he come to encounter you? A principal place is in church. You notice the disciples were together. Jesus came and stood among them. How many people are out there across the nation today sleeping in while you're in church, missing out on the possible encounter with the risen Savior who can bring to them the best message of hope that the world has ever heard? And maybe they had a late night watching some murder mystery last night, or some other, or perhaps they're in the golf course, or just they have a better fishing trip or something like that to go to. But I tell you, this is where you can encounter the risen Christ right now through me, because he sent me as his ambassador to say, I am alive. I have conquered death and Hades. Peace be with you. Do you encounter him today? Well, Thomas missed out. And let's listen to the story of his faith. Verse 24 says, Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and place my finger in the mark of the nails, and place my hand in his side, I will not believe. You know, you ever meet someone who's happy in their misery? They're having a pity party. They are miserable. And when you try to console them and bring them a message of hope, as much as they say, I want hope, I want hope, I want hope, you'd share hope with them, and they say, No, that's not for me. This seems to be Thomas's case. You can't cheer me up. I don't believe that. I'll believe that when I see that. You know where Thomas was from? Maybe Galilee. Maybe one of those places. I think he might have been from Missouri. The show me state. Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, place my finger in the mark of the nails, I will not believe. Show me. Prove it. Let me see. Well, let's see what the Lord does with him. Next verse, 26. 8 days later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Praise God, he decided to come to church anyway, even though he wasn't feeling so good. The doors were shut, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not be faithless, but believing. Thomas answered him, My Lord and my God. And so he came to faith and believed. And how again did he do it? Was it through pondering over his own self-pity, his misery? Was it even through coming to church? Well, it wasn't even just by coming to church, but in church he had an encounter with the risen Christ. That's what changed him. And that's what can change you today with respect to this belief in the doctrine of the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And you have the opportunity right now, through me as Christ's ambassador, to hear Christ speak to you again these words, I am risen from the dead. Peace be with you. Do you hear that? Not as from me, but as from him who has sent me to deliver this message to you. You are encountering him right now. And the word that I say to you is the same one that Jesus said to Thomas, Do not be faithless, but believing. Now, I want you to see here the Lord's compassion. You know, how could the Lord have dealt with Thomas here? Sometimes we think, well, we've messed up and that's it. God's not going to have anything more to do with me. You ever feel like that? I feel like that sometimes, a lot of times. You know, I have to fight that temptation. And Thomas could have felt like that, and the Lord could have dealt with him like that. Thomas, I give you every opportunity to come to faith. You could have come to church last week. You could have heard my word. You could have read my Old Testament scriptures. You could have done this. You could have done that. You've dug your own grave, now to lie in it. That's not the way our Lord Jesus operates, though. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that good news? That as often as you did not seek the Lord, it seems here that in John chapter 20, when Jesus came the second week, his primary purpose was to find and seek out Thomas. Isn't that great? Even if you've messed up, not come to church, and wallowed in your own self-pity, and been faithless and unbelieving, the Lord doesn't just let you lie in your grave, but he is the good shepherd who says, I'm going to leave the 99 sheep in the wilderness and go after the one that was lost until I find it. And he came to look for Thomas and found this lost sheep and delivered him through an encounter that he had with Thomas and Thomas had with him. And so, are you encountering the living Christ today? Absolutely yes. And he has come to seek you. And I want you to believe today, to know for a certainty that this is not an idle tale, not some rosy daydream and some mirage on the horizon that you say, as a Christian, I sort of have this hope of life winning over death or something dreamy and sappy and silly like that. We believe in bodily resurrection from the grave. When I die and go into that pit, that tomb, that grave, I'm getting up again. And death holds no terrors for me. For Christ, the Lord of life, has destroyed the power of death through his cross, his death, and his resurrection. Amen? Amen? Amen. And so what does it mean for me that I have a Lord who's promised me resurrection from the body? It means in Psalm 68, verse 20, our God is a God of salvation, and to God the Lord belongs escape from death. You don't have to be afraid of death as a Christian. It can't harm you anymore. If you believe in Christ and are baptized into his name, you are going to live forever. And John says in 1 John chapter 5 that eternal life already dwells in you, even though you can't exactly feel it or see it. Forget your feelings. Just believe on what you know. And what you know from the Bible is if you believe in Christ, you have eternal life. So I'm never going to die. God will sustain my faith and I'm going to live. And I declare that to you. Also means that when you have loved ones who've passed away, whom you're missing and longing for, as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13, but we would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are asleep. In other words, those who have died in the Lord, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. Are you missing today a loved one that you want to see again who died in the Lord and you're saying, oh, God, well, I tell you, or Christ tells you today in this encounter, I have risen from the dead, your loved one is with me, and you will see them again soon. And Jesus said the same thing to the disciples when they were sad and not seeing Jesus again. And what did he say to them? He said, if I can find, I'm jumping ahead to another place, but I know what the verse is. Never really follow this outline anyway. But he said, you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will be able to take your joy from you. Jesus is risen from the dead. He will raise your loved ones who've died in the Lord. He will raise you. And this is what the resurrection means to me. 1 Corinthians 15, that this is so it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. Do you know that my body right now, this body is like a banana? You ever have a banana sitting around too long? Perishable. Don't look so good after a while. Well, after a little while, I'm not going to look so good either once I die. But it's sown perishable, it's raised imperishable. Can't be corrupted anymore. I'm longing for that day. It's sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. And man, do I feel that sometimes. But it's raised in power. Power. This is where God has destined you to shine brighter than the stars in the firmament, according to Daniel. Brighter than the sun shining in full strength, according to Jesus. And this is what God has destined you for. And Jesus has given you the chance to be more blessed than the disciples, for they saw and believed. They're from Missouri, but you're from Florida. You can believe without having seen, and blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. And so I want you to rejoice today, and if you rejoice, say amen.
Amen,
amen, because we believe as Christians, the center of our faith is in the bodily resurrection of from the grave of our Lord Jesus and of ourselves, of me, because I say my Lord and my God, oh Jesus. So praise God. Now that would be a good enough sermon. You probably think, well, I'm pretty satisfied, but I'm going on, because Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life, and he has other ways also of resurrecting you, which are great news for you today. Remember Thomas and the disciples. They were shut behind closed doors, unbelieving. This is just an idle tale. I don't believe. And you know what the Bible says of people who don't believe? It says they are technically dead. Corpse. Stone cold, rigid, dead, if you are an unbeliever. And this is what it says in Ephesians 2. When you were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the air, that is the devil. And it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And so the next good news I have for you today is not only your body, okay, but also your soul. For your soul, the scripture says, was dead if you lived in unbelief, as all of us have. But God has resurrected you already. If you're a believer and you've been baptized into him, you are, in your soul, resurrected already. And where does this death come from? Genesis 2 says, God said to Adam, you may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. From the day that you eat of it, you shall die, spiritually, in your soul, dead in your relationship with God. That's why Jesus can say to the Pharisees, woe to you, for you're like graves which are not seen. Men walk over them without knowing it. Jesus said, truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Have you been born again? Is your soul alive and resurrected today in Christ? His message to you today is believe in my gospel. And that's what he came to say. Peace be to you. If you receive that and believe in Jesus, that he died for your sins, rose again from the dead, then you are resurrected, raised from the dead in your soul. And then when you live out there in the world, in God's sight, you are now alive. Do you feel alive? Well, whether or not you feel it, you should know it. You are alive if you've believed in Christ. For you were buried with him in your baptism and raised out of those waters to live a new life, as Paul says in Romans chapter 6, verse 3. And Jesus is calling to you today through an encounter, saying, you who are road weary, travel worn in the flesh, you are feeling the weight of the dirty rags of your unrighteousness, stained by a rebellious world around you and sin within, I say to you, peace be with you. I'm alive. I have conquered death and Hades. I have died to forgive your sins, and you can be new and raised right now. And I invite you to respond to that. And when you do, the Father runs and does not chastise you for it, but rather says, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and make merry. For this my son was dead, but is alive again. He was lost and is found. So, Jesus, our God, who lives and reigns right now, has promised you, first of all, that your bodies will be raised from the dead on the last day. Also, that on the day you believed and were baptized, you were raised up to live and be alive before God today. But also, lastly, he has promised to be with you every step of the way and to raise you up when your spirit is downcast, as we all have to wrestle with. For check this out from Proverbs 18, verse 14. A man's spirit will endure sickness, but a broken spirit, who can bear? You know what I'm saying? Are you feeling downcast today? Are you like the disciples were in John chapter 20, shut behind closed doors for fear of the Jews? What are you shut behind today? What doors are closing you in your heart so that you're not rejoicing in your faith? You're caught in some pit of despair. Is there some circumstance in your life beyond your control, as the disciples felt on that day? Well, what you need is Jesus, who comes to encounter you, and though the doors are shut, he doesn't care. He walks right through them and appears in the midst and encounters you today behind your closed doors, saying, I'm the resurrection and the life, and I've come to bring you joy and deliverance and to raise you from the dead, to raise your spirit. That's why Paul said in Dan's favorite verse there, that when he was so utterly unbearably crushed, that was to make him rely on God who raises the dead. Paul's talking about raising not the body, not the soul in that place, but your spirit, your heart. Where's your heart today? Trapped, afraid, bewildered, overwhelmed. I can't do it, Lord, I can't do it. Well, he comes to stand in the midst of you, to raise you up, to resurrect your spirit daily through, again, what? An encounter. And you know what? In our Christian life and my life, I constantly have to fight. I mean, I go like that, just like you, you know? But I need to encounter him again and again and again and again and again. Every day I need to encounter him and again say, my Lord and my God. For he made my feet like hinds' feet. He set me secure in the heights. He drew me up from the desolate pit, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. Have you not heard? Have you not known that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth? And pay attention, because I'm drawing to a close, so wake up.